This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Just another public service reminder for those of you driving on the freeways that the far left-hand lane, that's right, the number one lane, is for passing only. It is not for sitting, cruising in, even if you're doing the speed limit. If you're impeding traffic behind you, you're breaking the law. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry for our interstates. The American interstate system, of course, is there for you. And while you're on the highways and byways this summer, enjoying the many great sights and sounds and scenes that we have to offer here in America, remember that when you are driving in the far left-hand lane, that is a passing lane. By simply going the speed limit in that lane, for instance, 75, 65, 55, whatever it may be, if you are impeding faster traffic behind you, you're breaking the law. You're breaking the la-ha. Now, the good news is there ain't a cop that has been born yet that'll give you a ticket for it. The bad news is you're pissing me off.
You're pissing us all off.
By the way, something else. If you're in that number one lane and you're going the speed limit and you're still impeding the traffic behind you and you have Oregon plates, woo-hoo-hoo! Wow! What balls you have! Yeah. Oregon plates! Nothing wrong with Oregon. I love Oregon. Beautiful place. But they tell me, and I haven't been up there, it's never happened to me, because whenever I'm up there, I ain't got a car with California plates on it. But, you know, you've heard the stories. They let the air out of your tire, they smash your window. They don't like Californians, right?
How do you know the first lane isn't the number one lane?
The right lane?
Yeah.
Because it's not. It's the number whatever it is lane. How could it be the number one lane?
Because, jeez, what an idiotic question that is.
I don't know, bud. They just call it that. How do I know it ain't the number one? The far left-hand lane, the fast lane, the one that you're supposed to go really fast in. See what I'm saying? And today, I'm there, and there's a guy in front of me with the Oregon plates. I'm thinking, man, there's a cat there. He want to die. Whoa-hoo-hoo. See, up there in Oregon, a lot of them, not everybody, but a few people, you know, they'll let the air out of your tires and do stuff to your car if you got California plates. And the reason is because they have resented for a long time California's going up there and buying property and generally what they call californicating their state. And that's fine. But you can't be driving down here with your Oregon plates then and not think that something's, you know, somebody ain't going to swing by and toss you a bone. Like Lloyd would say. So please keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, as you're driving that far left-hand lane, because, you know, and as you know full well, you see the people that know full well that they're making everybody, the 6 miles of traffic behind them, angry. See, I got a theory. Now, tell me if you don't agree with this. You know all the tension we have in the world today? You know where it's from? Right out there in the freeway. Right out there in the freeway. That's where it's caused. That's where it started. Yes, I know that there's domestic violence. I understand about all of the horrible things that happen to people. But all of those things can be overcome. Where it is simmered and where it is propelled and where it never ends. Where, for instance, if you leave your house feeling great, with the love of man in your heart, the milk of human kindness running through your veins, you hit that freeway and the next thing you want to do is go visit Leatherface and see if the chainsaw's busy. You don't want to be nice to nobody. Why? Because you're out there in the traffic and suddenly you're angry. I think if it wasn't for that stinking freeway, expressway, turnpike, highway, whatever you want to call it, the world would be a much better place to live in. But we got to go out in the middle of that. Now, what makes it different from most life? I'll tell you what. When you're standing in a crowd of people, just you standing in a crowd of people, well, you're not going to go pushing people around and stuff because you realize that, like a cyclotron, you know, things come back on you, right? But only in your car do you suddenly feel immune. And in your car, you'll flip people off. In your car, you'll cut people off. And you'll do all the things that will make anybody angry, right? So a guy gets to work and he's ready to kill somebody. The automobile is obsolete. Here in the city of Los Angeles, we have no more room on the freeways for cars. So what does that mean? It means the automobile is obsolete.
What's that mean?
It's obsolete.
What does that mean?
It means it's... You don't know what obsolete means.
No. What does it mean? Is it a weather condition?
Is it a weather condition?
Yeah, like it's hailing and obsolete outside.
Aren't you funny?
I don't know what it means.
It means it's doesn't, it's, you can't use it no more. The automobile is like this thing. It's like taking your house on the road, you know? We got a house, and then, like George Carlin says, a smaller version of your stuff. So there you are with a car. One guy, and how many square feet is a car, would you say? 20, 30 square feet, 40 square, I don't know what. So, you know, that's a lot of space for one dude to be taken up in this world on a very finite stretch of property, which is called a highway or freeway. We don't have any more room for them. They're coming out with newer ones, smaller ones, bigger ones, better ones, hybrids. And, you know, I've talked about the hybrid, but I suddenly realized there's no room for the hybrids. There's no room. There's no space. That leaves us with only one alternative, and that's the high-speed rail option. Rail. Light rail, metro rail, whatever the hell you want to call it, high-speed rail. We got to get rail. Now, most cities have the wonderful beginning workings of a rail system, except here in the city of Los Angeles. For a town that's so forward-thinking, man, we are done, baby. There's just no way to get from point A to point B in this place. I'm sitting there in traffic today, 50 miles outside of town, and, you know, and it dawned on me, cars are a thing of the past. If we really know what we're doing, within 50 years, we will eliminate cars completely. They just won't even exist. We'll have trains, flying saucers, anything. But nothing having to do with individual transportation. We cannot travel alone anymore. We have to be in commuter vehicles, whether it's a train, it's a bus, a commuter saucer, a commuter spaceship, something. One guy sitting in his car, you know? Hi. Hey, you see my car? Yeah, isn't that great? Man, what a, you know, that's like a guy just sailing along, his own little version of himself in his car. And then on top, forget it. This has been Phil Hendry for Jack Balls in Traffic. The interstate system, it's good. You seem to have it all. That music from the film Driven, which was pretty good. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, this hour, explorer Paul Getty Lee. He will reenact the crucifixion of Jesus. And also, some pretty high comedy there. And
yeah, it's great.
And also, we have our flashback coming up, our listener flashback request. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bill McNamara joins us for just a moment. We have our listener request, but Bill, you are the Easter Bunny at the Schaefer Mall this year, isn't that right?
That is correct, Phil, yes.
And tell me what is unique about you being the Easter Bunny.
The first thing I want to mention, Phil, before I tell you about being the Easter Bunny at the Schaefer Mall is we have a line with quite a few people in it. And there are a lot of women in line with children, and sometimes they have an infant with them. And I'm asking on behalf of the mall personnel and all of our merchants here at Schaefer Mall that if you need to change the baby's diaper, would you please have the common decency to go to the bathroom where the changing rooms are instead of laying the kid down there on a bench and taking his dew-ridden diaper off in front of God and man? Thank you.
The guy hung up! I was going to talk to him about being the Easter Bunny. Apparently, he's the Easter Bunny every year because his head looks exactly like a rabbit's. Other than that, I mean, he's a very deformed human being, but he's got those two big pointed ears. All right, anyway, hey, Phil.
That's great.
Yeah, hey, Phil, I really enjoy your program. I'd like to request an old bit, I think, from Miami days. Roland Schwinn, the real fat pig, had an Easter egg hunt with kids. The kids would be nude and explore each other for the eggs. Rock on, Lawrence. Well, you're right, Lawrence. This goes all the way back to 1995. Back to the great days in Miami. The great days when the great people of Miami embraced this show. Here it is from 1995. Roland's Easter House. Here's a call from Miami. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, that's the same man. He's full of baloney. Does he go around naked too with his wife? Ask him.
Roland?
Does he, remember? He was on before, Phil.
And you were and talking
and
about
I
what?
I wouldn't send my kids to go with their underwear. It looks ridiculous. What is he trying to prove? Nature my foot.
Well, what I'm saying is that it is restrictive to the children.
Weren't you on before with the same baloney?
I've been on Mr. Henry's show before, yes.
But haven't you been on before and you said you go naked with your wife?
I do, yes, we do.
You hear what I see, Phil? He was on before.
Are you you're a nudist, right?
Yeah. I am not a nudist in the strict sense of the word, no.
No.
I am not a nudist in the
no,
strict sense of the
naked.
Word.
He's not a nudist, but he goes naked like
yes.
a jerk.
What is wrong with going naked?
What's so right about it? The kids would be embarrassed.
The children would be free to... be free to enjoy the world as nature intended them to enjoy.
Oh, stop the baloney. Stop the baloney, you full of baloney.
Well, what are you talking about, Roland? Are you naked with the children?
That's what he said. Remember last...
children choose that, yes, we do remove our clothes.
He's cracked. He's got a crack in his head.
See, this woman, Phil, if I may point this out, is this woman is symptomatic of what's wrong with America.
Oh, systematic, my...
You are, and your language, by the way, we don't use that language around the children, I can tell
a
you
donkey.
That.
A donkey. You're a donkey. You
I
know that.
What'd you say?
You're a donkey.
Well, you can call me names, but as the children like to say, sticks and stones can break my bones.
Oh, stop the baloney.
Me.
You're so full of baloney. You were on before. Why do you have money again, Phil?
He's talking about an Easter hunt that he's got
Easter
for the kids.
Hunt my foot.
An Easter egg hunt.
I heard him before, and he's baloney. Little by little, he says, nature.
Yes, that is nature. And God, were born naked, madam.
And what happens to the children?
The children enjoy nature.
Oh, yeah, door.
They don't have to
look at your ugly body?
Do they have to take their clothes off?
They most certainly do not. They can wear their underwear. And go
why can't
nature.
They come with clothes?
Because it is not natural to wear clothing in the
botanical
natural
my foot.
To be wearing clothing in botanical surroundings is not healthy.
Oh, stop it. Where do you come from?
You know what this lady's problem is?
Where do you come from?
I happen to live in Coral Gables, and I'm a respected member of my community. I can tell you what your problem is.
Your problem? You got a problem. No, I don't have a problem.
Your problem is that if you were to take your clothes off, there might be death.
Oh, stop the baloney.
People might die.
Why? You got children?
What are you insulting this lady for?
I'm not insulting her. She's insulting me.
Do you have children?
Yes, I do have children.
Are they going to go naked?
They most certainly will.
See, Phil, I wouldn't allow her. I wouldn't even allow them on the station.
Do you have grandchildren? Do you have grandchildren, ma'am?
No.
Well, then how do you know how children feel?
I know. I had three small children. And I would never send them to your place to go with their underwear.
To enjoy
First of all, the kids themselves would be embarrassed.
How do you, not the children that we have at our festive Easter
house? Yeah, what kind do you have?
We have children who enjoy the festivity of Easter house.
That's why there's so much abuse.
Let me explain to you some of the games.
There's so much abuse because of a nut like you.
That's true.
Well, let me hello.
Hello?
Let me explain some of the games that we play.
You're a nut.
We have Easter egg hunts. Where we hide the eggs and the children...
Oh,
look
I know all about it. Stop making excuses.
We color the eggs, we
Stop
roll the eggs
Stop making excuses.
Them. I'm not... Excuses? This is exactly... We eat chocolate bunnies, and we hide the eggs.
Big deal.
Do you hide the eggs in the shrubbery and stuff?
Sometimes we hide them in the shrubbery. Sometimes we hide them on our bodies.
Oh, on your body, huh? And they pick it out from your body?
Is there a problem with this, ma'am?
What do you mean you hide it on your body?
Excuse me, I don't hide it on my body. The children hide the eggs on their bodies, and they explore.
And you play with them, huh?
And they explore what?
They explore each other looking for the eggs.
Oh, my God, the man is a maniac.
What are you trying to pull here, Gray?
I'm not trying to pull anything, and I resent the inferences of this woman.
You're a sickie.
I'm a sickie.
They're going to lock you up.
They should lock you up.
This is what happens with... That's why kids are being abused. You get a maniac like this here, and some mothers are dumb enough to bring him just to get rid of them for the day, and bring him to a man that's a maniac like that?
I would encourage all mothers to bring their children to Easter house. It's very healthy.
You're a jack...
All right, well, listen, this was supposed to be an after-school special.
A fine after-school special.
After-school, my foot. You better go back to school and learn how to teach kids how to read better. Read.
I bet you we could use your body to hide a few Easter eggs.
Go scratch yourself.
Oh, come on.
Go scratch yourself.
Yeah,
you're a piece.
You give me
you're
a
no pain. Damn good,
you
and don't you dare. No children go there. No children should go there.
Children should come down.
No children. Don't let any children go there, Phil.
You
get them off the air.
Right. If you don't like what I'm doing, why don't you volunteer as a chaperone?
Why don't you go, Jack, go
why don't
scratch
you,
yourself?
Why don't you volunteer as a chaperone?
Why don't you scratch yourself?
What does she mean, scratch myself?
Yeah, go scratch yourself. Wake up.
Go scratch yourself.
You
go scratch yourself. Wake up.
Go scratch yourself.
The war is over. Don't kind of stop making abused children again. We have plenty of them here.
Oh, I don't
a bunch of
children.
Maniacs.
I
like,
hide Easter eggs on my body. There's
like a bunch
wrong with
of
that.
Maniacs like you.
Oh, don't pick an egg
don't,
out of your hair.
Cut him off the air. He's no damn good.
I think we could use you to hide some eggs.
So long. Happy Passover.
Hey, don't you hang on. Hello.
There it is. That's the famous Roland's Easter House from my... Oh, God, that was Easter 95? That's 9 years ago. Ten years ago. Holy God, 10 years ago? So I was 42, and I was dating Yvonne. Oh, never mind. And that is by request on the Phil Hendry Show, our listener flashback request. If you'd like to hear one, a bit that you haven't heard in a long time, you can send us an email at phs@philhendryshow.com. That bit, by the way, is on our 1995 Best of CD. And that was requested by a dude in, was he in Miami? Or he must have been in Miami. Must have been in Miami, I would think, bud.
Lawrence.
Where's that?
Ain't that Miami?
Well, where is it?
It just says Lawrence.
That's his name, you jackass. Where's he from?
He must be from there.
Oh, his name is from where he's from, too, huh? Hi, I'm Arcadia, California. Nice to meet you. How about if you... All right. In the news, a woman ordered chili at a San Jose Wendy's restaurant, finding a cooked human finger in her bowl. The Wendy's on Monterey Highway was still open Thursday while the Santa Clara County Health Department investigated, but officials said there it was definitely a human finger, complete with a long manicured fingernail that probably did not come from a Bay Area Wendy's employee. We have no evidence of any accident within the employees of the facility itself, said Ben Gale of the Santa Clara County Health Department. We've asked everybody to show us. They have 10 fingers and everything's okay here. The woman called 911. She said, there's a human finger in my chili. Let me just tell you what I think happened. I think she put it in there. Did you hear about what happened at McCormick's and whatever the hell that place is? What's that fish joint? McCormick's and something. It's a fish place. Very famous place. So a woman says, oh, I found a condom in my clam chowder and I'm going to sue, right? Well, McCormick's and what? I can't think of the name of them. McCormick's and Schmidt. McCormick's and Schmidt said, well, guess what? We don't think the condom was there. We think you put it there. Oh, how dare you? Yeah, that's right. Because our supplier is fastidious. Our facilities are fastidious. There's no way in hell that condom came from any of our employees. And in point of fact, they said they get their clam chowder from some kind of a distributor. There's just no way. So they said to her, we think you put it there, and we're going to countersue you. And all of a sudden, it went away. It just went away. They see, a lot of these restaurants are getting hip to this stuff, man. It's human finger in the chili. Hey, man, did you hear? What? A fried rat. You heard that one. A whole fried rat in a box of Colonel Sanders. Right, okay. You know what? They're starting to get hip to this stuff. And they're turning around and they're saying to the people that say they found it, yeah, well, we think you put it in there. Probably you chopped up your mother, man, and it's one of the fingers that was left over. You didn't get the hefty bag, so you brought it with you, thought you'd throw it in your chili for a little flavoring, and then had a better idea, thought you'd bring it up and say, hey, wait a second, I know it, I can make a couple of dollars. You go up there with a finger. In fact, I think I'll try it as soon as I get out of here. I'm on my way to Carl's Jr. I'll just go ahead and cut one of my fingers off. That's a load, man. That's a human finger found in fast food chili. And even if it wasn't a fast food chili, maybe it makes it taste better. People complain, complain. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Here's another one. A principal apologized for smoking at school. A Providence High School principal who suspended a student for posting a picture of her smoking on his website has apologized to the student body. What? Well, anyway, he has to apologize because he smokes. And here's another one. Some guy shot about 6 people in a mall in Wichita. He's got to apologize. What the hell's wrong with this country? All right, our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. And if you have an email request, phs@philhenryshow.com. Coming back, we will have Vernon Dozier to talk about poker and a poker class that he is teaching. And we also going to have a little visit on the Phil Henry Show from Bob Bakian. He is live over the Florida Strawberry Festival, where it was reported that 9 kids got a deadly kidney infection. We'll hear from Bob and see what that's all about. Coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We've got Vernon Dozier on the line. Mr. Dozier is a high school teacher. You are conducting classes in poker, correct?
We do, Phil. With the popularity of poker, something that I decided to take up with our students, not only during the school year, we're certainly going to be involved with the kids, but I like to play poker. And I enjoy it, and I started these classes, and I thought that it would be fun.
Has it proven to be?
I can tell you this much, Phil. I'm a teacher, and I am a high school varsity football coach. I've been involved with young people for close to 26 years. I enjoy young people. I thought it would be fun to involve kids in a game that I love very much and that the kids love. It's called poker. What's going on now is the television poker, Texas Hold'em. And there's a whole lot of gobbledygook. You want to break the kids of the habit.
Well, like for instance, what?
Oh, the big blind, little blind, and this.
All right, now hold on. So people know what we're talking about. It's like an ante.
Yeah, the blind, the kids play this Texas Hold'em, and you got a big blind and a little blind. So the guys to the right of the dealer, I think it's the right of the dealer. One guy has a little blind, and another.
The little blind is a smaller ante, and the big blind's a bigger ante.
Yeah. Now, I don't know why they play it this way. They do it because they've seen it on TV. And I told them, okay, that's nice. Thank you very much for the information. Now let's move on to the world of real people, and let's play just a straight ante poker. Okay, or everybody on the table can ante. And they say to me, no, we don't want to do that. And I said, I'm teaching the poker class. What do you mean you don't want to do it? Okay, and we're going to play 7 stud, and they start to whine and cry. And so this one kid started table talking a little too much. Now,
all right, now table talking, so people, I don't want to leave people behind if people don't play poker. Poker is like a card game, and table talk.
Well, table talking is just talking at the table.
Right, table talking. Even when you're playing, you're allowed to table talk in poker.
Right, but this one kid is, oh, this is a stupid game, and oh, this is a stupid game. And so that's when you, your office contacted me because of the article in the Arizona Republic.
Well, the article said that there was some kind of a scuffle.
No. I grabbed the kid by the shirt and I said, now you listen to me and you listen good. We're going to play 7 stud, and I just started this because I...
Well, all right, so you're playing a serious... Sounds like you're playing serious cards with young guys that are just learning how to play it. Why don't you cut them a break and...
I'm cutting them a break. I'll cut them a break, but the problem is this. They play their little Texas Hold'em TV tournament poker, okay? I get my shorts handed to me for $50 or $60. Now when I say, okay, can I play a white man's game? And then, oh,
whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
What do you mean? I don't appreciate the racial.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, that's a very racist thing to say.
Forgive me, please.
Are there all these kids, white kids?
Yeah, they are. I got angry.
All right, you're angry because they're playing this Texas Hold'em, which is a game that is they see on TV, and they're playing it the TV tournament way. And
yeah, and they're doing all that. I'm all in. Yeah, you want to see somebody who's going to be all in? Watch me, because in about 10 minutes, my pants are coming off.
All right, look it. I can't.
Well, all right, so you,
I can't have this kind of conversation. You understand?
Well, when a guy says I'm all in, what do you think of?
I want to talk poker here.
Oh, so in other words, that makes me weird because I'm thinking.
No, it doesn't make you weird.
I just think the way kids are learning to play poker these days is for do. You know what I'm saying? I have worked with kids for 26 years. I have.
Now, what happened when you said you wanted to play seven stud? The guy started playing seven stud. One of the kids started complaining. You pulled him across the table.
I pulled him across the table. And I said, "You got my shorts for $50. You've had your hand in my pocket all night." Okay, and that's when he started mouthing off. And
so there was a scuffle.
There was a disagreement.
Well, when you say things like, okay, can we now play a white man's game, and all that stuff, which is very racist, it's not the kind of way a teacher should talk.
I totally agree, Mr. Henry.
And I know you're frustrated, but it doesn't sound like something you should be involved in. You're a math teacher, you teach social studies, and you do your football. What do you mean, teaching a poker class?
I thought I could make a couple of dollars. There, okay?
You mean you need the money?
Yes. Yes. I need the money.
You're playing poker with your students under the guise of teaching them how to play because you want to make the money.
Yes. I have had a very rough year. As you know, my wife's in a coma, and I have taken up with a young lady. And she is a beautiful woman, but boy, she cost me. God, she costs a lot.
So you got yourself a really hot chick while your wife lays in a coma, and you're trying to fund your dalliance with this gal by taking down high school boys at a poker game after school?
Oh, wait a minute. No, I see where you're going now. So you think I got my hands down their pants, is that it?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, no, you're going there, though. Oh, high school boy.
No, I'm not going there at all, man.
I'm telling you, Phil, I wanted to teach these boys poker, and I said to them, okay, let's play seven stud, and let's play five stud. They called it gay. They called me gay. Oh, God.
Well, you're now in a situation where you got your hot girlfriend. Is this the tennis player?
Yeah.
Looks like you're done, man.
It's a hell of a thank you, isn't it? That's a fine how do you do. Carol finally is in a coma. After all these years, she's finally out like a light. And I get a hold of something that's, man, that's the best thing ever happened to me. I get into a poker game, and all of a sudden, these guys turn into Doc Holliday. Whatever happened?
Hold on for a minute. I got my program director on the line.
I'm sorry.
I got my program. David?
Yeah, what is going on?
David, this is Vernon Dozier.
How are you, sir?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good. But I got a radio station I'm running here, Mr. Dozier, and I've got FCC considerations. And if I hear you guys say the term poker one more time, you are...
What are you talking about?
Oh, what am I talking about?
No, he doesn't understand. We're talking about a...
You're saying poker, huh? I'll bet you poker. And the last time I hear that is the last time I said it. I don't want to hear you guys talking about you guys poker anymore.
What do you mean poker? We're talking about a card game.
There, he did it again.
I heard it, Mr. Hall. I've written it down now 10 times. You want me to put it in triplicate form?
Yeah, report to me in the morning.
Are you telling me that you think I'm saying P-O-K-E-H-E-R?
Well, what do you mean? I'm listening to you say, yeah, the other night, and guess what? Poker, and then Bill poked her, and Bob...
He didn't say poked her.
I didn't say that, sir. I said Texas Hold'em, and...
What is that, some kind of a fag ritual? Texas Hold'em? Hold what? What, a bunch of guys sitting around in a circle?
It's a card game.
A card game, huh?
It's S&M, Mr. Hall. I looked it up on the internet.
Thank you very much, bud.
On the internet.
Is that the retard you were telling me about?
Yeah, it is.
Well, look, I didn't say poker. And boy, you guys got some big pair on you. That's the 50th time I've heard. Last night it's Rod. Tonight it's poker. And then earlier I heard you talking about pulling a train. And
I did not. I was talking about how we need more light rail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what, Phil? You put a knife with a fork and spoon. It looks very innocuous, but it's still a knife. You're in the context of talking about mass transit, talking about trains and railiner, poker.
You got one dirty mind.
I'd say this man needs a doctor. I need a doctor.
Bud, do I need a doctor?
No, Mr. Hall.
See?
Yeah, take the word of some metal case.
You say poker, rod, or train one more time, and you're fired. Anyway, we're playing Pinochle, and Pinochle...
All right, hold on.
What kind of filthy talk is that?
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I have an email here from Brent in Tampa who explains what and how the show is aired, because we do have so many people who call during the course of our program.
Yeah, I want to talk to Margaret about the elephant.
And they're talking about an hour that we did either an hour before or something we did last night. And I know there are many of you who deal with this. In Tampa, in New Orleans, in Los Angeles, a lot of places where we're delayed. Now, in Tampa, they do something which I actually think is nice. Between six and seven, they run a best of hour from one of our past shows, and then from 7 to 10, they carry the full 3 hours of our show from the day before. Why is that? I'll tell you why. We're here on the West Coast. When we're on at 7 o'clock at night live, it's 10 o'clock in Tampa. The way for you to carry us live would be at 10 o'clock Eastern, but the programming people in Tampa want to carry us at 7, so they run the show the next day, which is great. And I understand, and it conforms to the programming. We do get a lot of calls from people who will say, can I talk to, you know, Bobby Dooley about her breasts being made into a topiary? Oh, you're referring to a show we did last year. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, hold on, sir. We'll get her out of bed. Well, in any event, he says, the way 970 WFLA in Tampa carries your show, they have the best of Phil from 6 to 7. Then from 7 to 10, they carry the full 3 hours. I wish they carried you live. They don't, so I won't listen to you live. I pick you up on the internet from another one of your affiliates, such as Miami or Atlanta. I was a backstage pass holder for over 2 years, but I had to cut back because of lack of funds. I know I'm cheap. Your biggest fan, Brent in Tampa. $6.95, man, things must be bad for you, brother. $6.95 a month. You had to cut back? Look, dude, you know as well as I do, two less bags of pork rinds a month and you got it made. What's the secret? Moving on to another one here. It says here, these are the kinds of guys that we find on our radio show to be peculiar people. They're backstage pass holder. I do appreciate it, Steve. But he writes, you're awesome. I listened to you on Grandma's station before you moved to 570. I decided to sign up for your show and the website. One major complaint, he says, change your lame-ass music. It sucks. I want to put a gun to my head and pull the trigger. I'd rather listen to ABBA sing about some dancing queen. God, it's bad. Come on, dude, help us out in Cyberland with something good to listen to when you're taking a piss break. Yours truly, Steve. Now, I've heard the music we play during commercial breaks. It's everything from Metallica to The Doors to live to bluegrass music. In other words, I think it's great. Sinatra. We play all kinds of stuff. Steve, what you need to do is get a little sniff of this world, okay? We're exposing you to some things that otherwise you wouldn't be exposed to. Unless, you know, you'd just be hanging around some record store one day when a guy's playing something, and you go, what's that? That sucks. Beethoven?
Who's he?
And the other big thing that I want to mention to you at this time is it's a talk show. We do a talk show. It's spoken word. The music is secondary to what we do in this radio show. And you people that write in about bumper music, and you write in about music during the breaks, you talk about having an abnormal attraction and affection and interaction with the radio. It's one thing to really get into television and movies, but you dudes that are into the radio so much that you're pissing on about the music that we're playing during a commercial break over the satellite, oh my God, I want to kill. Oh! get out of your mother's basement, maybe take a few more of those classes to get the GED going. Let's go, baby. Let's move out into the world now, man. The sun's shining, baby. There's things to do, places to go, and people to see, man. Turn the freaking radio off if that's what it takes. There's only one guy who lives in his mother's basement that I can even put up with for 5 seconds, and that's Bud.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show with a very special announcement from Adolf Hitler.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hello, everybody. This is Jeff Dowder with another edition of Wouldn't It Be Funny If. Hey, here's an idea. Wouldn't it be funny if we snuck into the hospital and put rabbit ears on Terry Schiavo? That'd be pretty funny.
Will you get turn that off? What's going on?
You were taking a pee, so I let him go on early.
Don't ever put a guest on until I'm back in here.
Hey, Mr. Henry, it's Jeff Dowder.
Hold on for a minute. Do you hear what I said, Bud?
Yeah, but you were still taking a leak.
And you don't have to tell everybody what I was doing, either.
What's the matter? Did I cause a problem?
What is this? Wouldn't it be funny if we snuck in and put rabbit ears on Terry Schiavo's head?
Yeah, it's...
I know you do. Wouldn't it be funny if... Now, I got to go out and get something out of my car, Dickman. I want to make sure that this goes right.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Dowder. It's time now for Wouldn't It Be Funny If? What if we went in and, like, put rabbit ears on Terry Schiavo and some, like, big beaver teeth on her and it...
Hold on for a minute.
I thought you were out at your car.
I had to come back for something.
Hey, look, if I'm not going to be allowed to do what I've been contracted to do, you know, I'm an artist, man, and that...
Oh, well, excuse me. I want to know what material you got here.
What?
Read your material to me before we do it.
Okay, wouldn't it be funny if we snuck into the hospital and put rabbit ears on Terry, then I pulled my pants down and put my butt next to her head and...
No, that ain't funny at all, man.
Are you kidding me, man? I worked my butt off on this material.
Oh, really? Well, you know what? I think you're going to have to go back to the drawing board. Better yet, why don't you go back to where you wrote this stuff and blow your brains out?
You're telling me this isn't funny.
That's what I'm telling you. What else you got?
Wouldn't it be funny if we snuck into the Vatican, stole the Pope, and snuck him into the hospital and laid him in bed with Terry Schiavo and took a picture of it?
No, man, none of it's funny.
I think it's pretty funny.
I ain't asking you. You know, and then second time, man, I don't want your stuff on my show. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Boy, you are one flaming, steaming turd.
Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.